Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Good to see you guys this morning. I just have to tell you something. I don't know where this sermon's going to go this morning. I'm sitting here worshiping with you all, and I could tell this, I don't know if any of you could sense it, the Spirit of the Lord just coming upon folks. Moving to Louis to ad lib there while he was going. So we're going to see where this sermon takes us. This text this morning is an amazing text. Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Well, as we've been looking at the Beatitudes and these blessings that Jesus has been calling upon those who follow him, those who are coming into becoming kingdom citizens, he says these are markers. Markers when you can establish, you can see, there is the kingdom of God in those people. They, when you see these things happening in these people's lives, there is the kingdom of God. Starts with poor in spirit, recognizing their spiritual bankruptcy, the sin in their lives. They're blessed. That's a revelation of God. Blessed are those who mourn over sin, because their heart is breaking the way Christ's heart breaks for sin. Blessed are those who are mourning for what has happened all around them, as many of us have been mourning, as all we see happening in our world. Blessed are the meek who submit themselves and humble themselves under the leadership of the Lord to be gentle and to be held under his strength and his leading and his guidance. They are a different person. And those people are blessed because they now hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not man-made goods, not man-made this is what a good person is. No, but the righteousness of God. That's a marker of somebody who has the kingdom of God in their life. Blessed are those who are merciful because they've received the mercy of God. They recognize how poor in spirit they are, and they've cried out to receive the mercy, and they're so being filled with the mercy of God that they are overflowing and not just receiving, but are merciful people. Blessed are those who are pure in heart because they've tasted the righteousness of God and they want more of it. And they want to be made right by the Lord, and they want to glorify the Lord. Blessed are those who are now going to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. Well, I think Jesus has been doing here in these sermons, hopefully for you and for me, he's been doing, is two things. One is he's giving us and showing us and stirring up and tilling up the soil to produce the good fruit of being kingdom people. That we can start seeing these markers in our lives, start pursuing these things, start chasing after this and say, Lord, I want to be this blessed person. And at the same time, putting a nail in the coffin of false blessing. Putting a nail in the coffin of the old life, the sin life, that we start seeing as he is producing this in us, that old life, just one more nail, is burying and cementing and closing a chapter of the old life because he's building in you a new life. I pray that that is happening for you. I pray that that is what God has done for you, is continuing to do in you. And so when Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, it's because they are walking in that mercy of that new life. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they now have that pure in heart. Blessed are, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. All of these, this movement is that overflow of verse 6, that hungering and thirsting for righteousness. The new life. The new life that Christ is putting in us. The new person. And so in verse 9 here of Matthew chapter 5, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What an amazing thing that is, to be called a son of God. This is not something you do to be a son of God. It is something that reveals you are a son of God. That might sound weird, ladies, to be saying, I'm going to be a son of God. Just as much as it's weird for us as men to be called the bride of Christ. These are identities we have to grab, because the Son of God is the one who inherits all of the Father's blessing. We are the people who have received. So when he says, blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, he says, this is a revealer that you are. You've received the kingdom of God. You've received the inheritance of God. You've received the presence of God in your life, because you are like your Father. You're a peacemaker. Friday, I got to take my family up to Cave Run as my day off, and we went swimming in the lake. We went kayaking, and I love swimming in Cave Run. I swim it as part of my training for my triathlons, and my kids were all out there with me and my wife, and we got kayaks out. And what it was we, because the boats are constantly coming near you, the people in the kayaks had a responsibility to kind of stay near the swimmers at times, to kind of be that extra visual barrier for the boats to avoid. And my son was like, Dad, I want to swim. I want to swim out there. Well, I'm like, well, they can't see you. So I went back to my bag, and I had some of my tri gear, and I got one of my swim caps. And there, it's this bright blue, like just fluorescent blue cap. I said, you got to put this on. And his big old noggin's trying to squeeze into it. And he's a big boy, and he's a man child. And he gets that thing on him, and it just looks hysterical, like you got a balloon on your head. But I'm like, dude, it's not going to keep your hair dry from getting wet. It's going to help people to see you, to avoid you, and so I can see you. And so then he puts the goggles on. He begins to swim out there. And I went ahead and I just grabbed another one of my caps and my goggles, and I swam with him. And I'm helping him to swim far out into the lake. And we got these buoys that tell the boats to stay away from us or to slow down in these areas. But I'm trying to help him and guide him through this. And my wife's got one of the kayaks, and she's staying close to us to be an extra barrier. Because he's wanting to do what Dad does. And he's been talking to me. He went and saw, I did a half Ironman a couple weeks ago, and he went to that race, and he came back wanting to train to do a little sprint triathlon, which I have one in September. And he says he wants to do that with me. I'm like, okay. We're going to see how that in football works out. But he's trying to do what Dad's doing. He sees something, and something he's trying to copy and mimic and be a part of. And yeah, we got out there, and it was like, oh my, hey, when you get tired, roll over, do your backstroke, and I'm teaching him how to do this. I'm like, we've got nothing else to float, man, but what God has given us. And I'm like, you can't touch bottom, you can't see bottom. We're out there, and getting back into shore, and it was hours of him, and it wasn't just him. Elizabeth, my 18-year-old, was wanting to do it. And the next thing I know, Hannah's wanting to do it. And my wife's joining us, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be in the kayak. Someone has to be, and I'm coaching and helping. They're all wanting to be a part of it. And my job was to coach them through. My job as father was to protect them. My job was to encourage them. No, they can't do what I can do. But it doesn't mean they can't mimic what I'm doing. They can't copy what I'm doing. Because they're my family. Today, church family, Christ is calling you and saying to you, you can be about what your Father is about. He is a peacemaker. He is one who gives peace because he has called you his child. John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 12. John says this, to all who receive him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Paul echoes this in Galatians 3:26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. That means we inherit. We inherit. And what is put into us is the Spirit of our God, to be about what our God is about. Blessed. How blessed. Rejoice. Because you are able to be like your Heavenly Father, a peacemaker. Our God is a God, is called the God of peace all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. He brings his peace in so many different ways. We encounter it. He is the peacemaker. Most of the time when we think about making peace in our society, we think about a lot of different things. Someone who calms down an argument between two people. That might be considered, in the world's understanding, a peacemaker. It's a good thing. Maybe you're someone who creates peace by giving in sometimes when there is a dispute. You're like, you know what? I'd rather have peace than be right. I'll just go ahead and what I want right now isn't that important. I'd rather have peace. That might be a peacemaking heart. But that's how the world functions. You might think you're a peacemaker when you create by not giving in and being solid and standing your ground on a principle or a truth. And therefore, you just outlast them. I'm not going to give in on this. Eventually, they're going to bend. That might be how your marriage functions. Sometimes we try to create peace, and sometimes we have to do things to create peace by separating from people that we're at odds with, so that there is peace. Sometimes we try to create peace by conquering those who are attacking us, because when the enemy is destroyed, then comes peace. I know that's what Ukraine's praying for. We try to create peace sometimes by just being strong and having that powerful presence in that situation. Maybe being the smartest person in the room that everyone can look to. I know that's how it is at times. You look to your parents. You look to a teacher. You look to a boss. Like, they're here. Whatever we're afraid of or whatever anxiety we have, that person can handle it. And that gives you peace. Sometimes we try to create peace by giving wisdom and understanding to a situation and maybe giving new insight. While these are good things that help us have peace with one another, Jesus is not saying that if you do these things, you are now a child of God. Being a referee does not make you a peacemaker with God. Why? Because the great war that we have within one another, within ourselves, within our own heart, is the great divide between us and God. It is sin. We need to understand that, church, because we're being called to be about our Father's business. Our sin is what is the problem here. Colossians 1:21 says, once you were alienated from God. We were enemies in our minds because of our evil behaviors. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, he talks about again in the past tense. For if while we were enemies, what did God do? He reconciled. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. He's making peace. That's who we were. As a believer in Christ, you were this. We have to get this if we're going to understand this calling that we're given, this opportunity to bring peace. We've got to understand how our Father brought us peace. The sovereign work of our God's grace in our rebellious heart is that He brought peace between us and Him. He is the peacemaker. And then we are able to be brought and be made adopted children of God. This is something we grow in. It's something we develop in. We mature in. You have it already. It is given to you. You have the peace of God because you have God. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons of God. God has sent forth the Holy Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have His Spirit connecting us with Him. You are His children. That's who you are. Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We can be peacemakers because the Spirit of God is already in us. The fruit of the Spirit that dwells in us, you could probably start reciting this, so many of you know it, is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those are not individual things that we somehow obtain. It's all singular, one thing. It's the Spirit of God in you. And it manifests in love, in joy, in peace. We have this peace. So back in Matthew 5:9, the promise of sonship, the sonship that we are promised, guides us more into what Jesus is going to talk about on the rest of this Sermon on the Mount. It guides us into understanding what He's going to say here. Because you are this. Look where else Jesus references this sonship. Matthew chapter 5, just a few verses down, verse 43 through 45. Jesus says this. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. That's the revealer. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Verse 45 there is the key there. So that you may be, so it reveals that you are your sons of the Father. We must be peacemakers. And how does He call us to be peacemakers? To pray for those who are your enemies, who persecute you. That's crazy. But Jesus came to those who were once His enemies so that they might be called children of God. So peacemakers, fellow peacemakers, we are called to pray for those who hate the peace of God that is in us, who hate the righteousness of God that we are loving, who hate all that we are about. We are to pray for them. Sons of God, He calls us and teaches us how to pray. Just a few verses down in chapter 6. You know this as the Lord's Prayer, but in Matthew 6:9-10, Jesus says, pray like this. Pray that you and your enemy would hallow God's name, would praise God's name. Pray for the heart of God to be working in them, that they would become somebody who lives to glorify the Lord. Just that you seek to glorify the Lord. Pray that that God's kingdom comes in their life and that they acknowledge the kingdom of God. That they acknowledge their need for Jesus Christ, that they want His rule and authority over them. Pray that His will be done in your enemy's life as you seek to have the will of God done in yours. Just as the angels in heaven do the will of God, you want this enemy to now be doing the will of God. So that those who persecute you, you now call brother and sister in Christ. That's a radical way of being. I believe this is what's the heartbeat of our Lord when He calls us to be peacemakers and says, be what I'm about. Blessed are you when you're about what I'm about. We want political peace. What it does is it causes fractions and wars because we all disagree. We want racial peace, but we can't seem to break through the cultural barriers. We want religious peace as long as everybody's religion goes along with one another. Yet none of this is possible because sin is what is leading that violence. What conquers the sin is the peace and the presence of God in their lives. Pray for them. You who are an adopted child of God, we need to pray and realize I was once an enemy of my God, but now I am brought into being a child of the inheritance of His love and His mercy and His holiness and His joy. I don't deserve this peace. I don't deserve Jesus Christ. I was once absolutely poor in spirit, and He made me see how poor in spirit I am. So now that I am flush with the wealth of the kingdom of God, I am now free in Christ, but I once was a slave to sin, and I mourn over the slavery of sin in my heart and my life. How blessed am I that my Father would adopt me and make true of me what is not natural of me. Blessed am I that I have been brought under the leadership of the Lord, and I still want to do my own way and do my own thing and push against, and maybe I know what's right, and God's like, I'm going to bring you back, son. I'm going to coach you through this. Trust in my leadership. Humble yourself under me, and you will know my power and my strength. Hunger for what my Father hungers. That is not natural to me. It's not natural to you. But we are blessed because He is making it true in us. That's good news. That's gospel good news. Hear this. The world does not see this as a blessing. The world does not see the light of Jesus Christ as a good thing. We see this in John's gospel, John 3:19. The world loves its darkness. Jesus says over the world, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. We need to realize this, people. Anything that is craving in you to know God, to hear God, to respond to God, and to love God is because His light has invaded into your darkness and changed your heart from loving darkness to loving light. So we are called, now who are people in the light and love the light, to bring the light to all those who are loving darkness. To bring the peace that comes from being in the light. Have you ever found yourself in a dark place and you're like, I'm a little freaked out? You ever gone camping in the wilderness and it's just all of a sudden there's darkness that you didn't understand? Especially on a dark, cloudy night when there's no light, there's no stars, there's no moon, and it's just like, it's darkness. And you hear everything. All of a sudden, like, I can't see, but I hear. And I think it's a saber-toothed tiger, even though they say they're extinct. I know there's one over there. I've seen those monster movies. I heard one running through here. It's probably a squirrel. But what do you do? Can you imagine loving that? They get addicted to the fear. They get addicted to the darkness. They get addicted to it, as so many of us do. Getting addicted to our anxieties. Getting addicted to our fears. Because that's what I'm accustomed to. I'm used to living in darkness. I'm used to living in addiction. I'm used to living in anger and bitterness and control. I'm used to the darkness. And we wonder why the world's going to push against the hope of Jesus. But we are called to be peacemakers. I want to transition this a little bit to get your mind around this a little bit more. Because with this calling to be children of God and sons of God and ambassadors of His peace comes pushback. Romans 12:18 is the verse I want to use to briefly transition, just our thinking, just slightly. Paul says this, if possible, I love that word, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. That should be the goal for us as believers, to live in peace and bring the peace of God with all, as so much as it depends on you. But you have to understand this. You can't control where people's hearts are. All you can control is you seeking the heart of your Father. Seek to be, if possible, someone who doesn't hold grudges, who doesn't hunger and thirst for sin. Be someone who hungers for righteousness. And as a person who is pure in heart and hungers for that righteousness, to create and bring peace of God with you in all relationships. Your new heart of holiness and your desire to see people free from sin will cause people to push back against you. Paul even pointed this out within the church of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 11:18-19, Paul writes to the church in Corinth and talks about the division that's going on. He says, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you, in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. It even happens within the church. Those who are the children of God will have collisions, not seek out fights, but they will seek to be following their Father. And when they collide with those who say they're following the Father but are not, there will be divisions. There will be divisions. There will be revealing. Because as you seek to be genuinely following the Lord and have the holiness of the Lord be the greatest thing in your life and His purity and His holiness, and you want to bring His joy and His salvation, and you encounter people who claim to be children of God but are living in sin, they will say, stop calling me out on my sin. I'm under the grace of God. I can do whatever I want. I'm okay. God's forgiven me. I'm free to be whoever I want. No, you're right. I'm partially. Yes, Jesus Christ does forgive you of your sin. But it doesn't give us permission to keep on sinning. He calls us into this new life, this holy life. And as He calls us into it, it will cause division sometimes in churches, sometimes even in families. And you're going, wait, I thought we're going to be peacemakers. The peace isn't between us and sin. It's between sinners and God. We're not to be at peace and cozy up with sin. But many times we will sacrifice the holiness of God so people can feel comfortable with their sin. Jesus warned about this. Matthew 10:34. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. What is the sword? His word, His truth. For I have come to set man against his father, and his daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Why? Because those who seek to follow and be at peace with God at times will encounter those who claim Christ but don't know Christ. We're, as far as it's possible with us, we are to seek to bring peace. We want that brother and sister to not be an enemy with the Lord, and we see the sin in them. We see that they're claiming Christ, but they're choosing to live continuously and abide in sin. Then you don't know our Father at all, because that's not my Father's ways. It doesn't mean we won't mess up and Dad has to discipline us. But the child or the father submits to the blessing of being disciplined. Submits to the recognition that they need to be meek and brought under and humbled under his control and leadership. Submits to the realization that I need to still grow in hunger and thirst for righteousness. But the peacemakers will bring upon them both the joy of the Lord and the light that reveals the darkness. And there are those who choose to love the darkness rather than the light. Why am I saying this to you? Because I don't want you to get mixed up between being called to be a peacemaker and the achievement of being of bringing that peace. Don't get that mixed up. You may not achieve peace, but you still seek to bring peace. Just as much as Christ brings the peace with him, and what comes upon that? Those who do receive that peace, and those who reject that peace altogether, and seek to persecute him and crucify him. I think this is why Jesus, right after this, says in Matthew 5:10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Righteousness. In other words, righteousness must not be compromised in order to make peace with the persecutor. When Jesus pronounces the blessing on you for being persecuted for the sake of righteousness, Jesus clearly subordinates the goal of peace to the goal of righteousness, because true peace is only given to us when we are in the righteousness of God, not absent from it. Hear that again. True peace in your life is given to us in the righteousness of God, not absent from it. And when the righteousness of God is absent in your life, I guarantee you, there is no peace. Hear that. Our ongoing fears and anxieties, our ongoing worries, our ongoing anger, our ongoing lack of repentance, our ongoing love of sexual immorality, our ongoing praise of anger and bitterness, all that takes place on social media, all that's taking place in our news, all that's taking place in our world with violence and gun violence, all of that, it's the absence of the peace of God, because it's absence of the righteousness of God. The two must go together. So when you bring the peace of God, what comes with you is the holiness of God. Because what your desire for that person is to be set free from the slavery of sin so that they can find joy and peace in our Lord. That's our Father's business. That's why Jesus came. That's what he's calling you and me to be about. To pray for our enemies. Pray for those who are lost in sin. Pray for those who are hurting in sin. Because we realize where they were because we have been there ourselves. And we pray for them that they would know the peace that we know that surpasses all understanding. That they might know the joy of the Lord. That they might know the freedom of the Lord.
they might know the holiness of the Lord. So blessed are those who are peacemakers, because what comes with them is freedom. But remember, friends, they love the darkness. So here's our take home. As Jesus Christ is moving in you, hear this today. If you have confessed your sin, if you have repented from sin and confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that God has raised him from the dead, then you are a child of our Father. You are in his peace. You may not feel it right now. It's not about feeling. Feelings will lie to you. It's a truth statement. Hear it today. Build your life on it today. If you have confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised him from the dead, you are a child of God. Whether you're like, I just stopped sinning like a second ago. You are a child of God. I'm going to mess up. I'm actually craving the sin right now as you're speaking to me. You are a child of God. But he's not done with you. My son could not swim. The lake we were at Friday, I could swim across it and back. He could get out to the first buoy and back. I do not expect my son to do what I can do. But I'm encouraging to mimic what his father is doing. You are a peacemaker, because you are a child of God. Second, as a child of God, rest in God's love for you. Because the more you embrace and understand where you have been, you have more of a passion for those who are not where you are. Seek to live in God's peace and give God's peace to those who do not know it. You who have been set free from sin, pray for those who you see enslaved to sin. Encourage those who are in the church who you see living in sin to repent from sin. But third, don't compromise God's holiness for peace, because then there will be no peace. God's peace is found in his holiness. And finally, rejoice. Rejoice, because you do know our Heavenly Father. Rejoice, because you do know the joy of the Lord. Now go share that peace and that joy. Go share that gospel good news. Go be about your Father's work. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Your word does two things. It shows us what you're doing in us and how you're building us, but it's killing the old self in us. And sometimes it's hard, but it's good. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a steadfast spirit within us. Return unto us the joy of our salvation, that we might be about your business, Father. That we might worship you and praise you in all that we do. That we might bring your peace, your presence into a world that is hurting and lost in sin. May we be what you call us that we are, peacemakers. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Church, I want to transition us now to the Lord's Supper. And it's amazing how, as we're moving,